Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
If your car is basically causing you any problems, you'll definitely want to stay tuned to this, because buying a new car, it's one of the biggest investments you can make. I did it recently and did all the work. I'd say for about a week I was a car expert. But Joe Rafus is a full-time car expert. He's the editor of Auto Culture Ireland, the free motoring e-magazine. So despite the whole money buying, car buying thing, it takes a huge amount of money, obviously. Few of us actually have the mechanical knowledge to recognise if a car is the right fit for us, if it isn't in the long term, or might cause problems down the line. So Joe is here to give us any advice, the do's and don'ts of when it comes to buying a new car. So you can text us in 51552. Now, Joe, you're very welcome.
Morning, Tara. How are you?
The eternal, I'm in flying form despite this voice. Flying form. Loving being here and dying for this, because I found there was a lot of things I learned and didn't do right about buying the car. But the eternal question for most car buyers is whether to invest in a new car or go down the second-hand route. And how much, you know, do people weigh up on that decision? And obviously cost is a big factor.
Yeah, it all comes down to budget. I mean, the first question you have to ask yourself is how much you have to spend. And once you've established that, you know, and I always kind of advise people, stay on the underside of what your budget is, because you're always going to probably find something that you'll creep over it a little bit. But the big thing is, like, once budget is out of the way, it's going to come down to basically what you want and what you need. If it was all about what we'd want, we'd all be driving Ferraris, Porsches, Lamborghinis. Unfortunately, A, it's not feasible, and B, it's not practical for most people. So you have to pick a car that suits your lifestyle. So, I mean, if you've a big family, you're going to have space for that family. And then all the paraphernalia that's going to go along with a family, buggies or bags or whatever. You know, and then hobbies are a factor too. You don't see too many motorbikes in golf club car parks. I mean, it depends on what you need your car for. As I think I said before, like, for most people, you'll spend as long nearly in your car as you will in your house Monday to Friday. So, especially with this morning's commute. If you're thinking secondhand, I mean, which is probably where most of us are at, again, you've got to look around, see what particular models, what particular brands that appeal to you. And then once that's done, it comes down to your research. You got to look in to see what the common faults are. And I mean, no car is bulletproof. If it was, that's what everyone would drive. So every car has its own known little faults that develop over time. Some major problems, most just minor little niggly bits, you know.
So you have to be realistic. If you're in the car, as you said, for the commute, if you're going to be spending that much time in it, you have to factor all of that in.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, this morning it took me 3 hours to get here, so hence I was running a wee bit late.
Joe had a bit of a nightmare, but you're here and you're flying for. So if people are doing research, what are the basics? What do they need to do?
Well, look, first things first, the starting point for everyone is obviously online. It's long gone are the days where you'd go into your newsagents, into the magazine shelves and spend an absolute fortune, you know, because most magazines would only have maybe 6-7 different reviews, and you're researching over months and months trying to find the car you want. Now, just go online, have a look. You can go straight to the dealers' websites, pick the cars you like, then jump back, read reviews on them. I mean, our own Auto Culture Ireland, you go on to www.autocultureireland, you get all the back magazines and have a read through it. You'll get all the relevant specs and information about what's available in each particular car. And then you'll also get the opinion, whether it matters to you or not, of myself or other experienced motoring journalists.
And there's a lot to think about as well, whether to go to a dealer or to go private. What are the things you need to know with each of those, Joe?
Well, if you're going new, really, you have to go to a dealer. If you're going secondhand, you have that option of going, you know, to the classifieds and either buying a car privately or, again, going down to a dealer and picking up something that somebody else has traded in. It's very personal. Obviously, you have the little bit more security if you go to a garage or a dealership, you know, and you'll pick up a warranty in that. If you're going trawling through Dundeal or, you know, any of the car's own websites, It's buyer beware, really. It's you buy what you see.
What's a good average warranty? I found there was people were playing with that a lot in different dealers. How long?
Look, it comes down to what looks fantastic on a billboard. If somebody puts up 40,000-year warranty on a car, but it only comes with, you know, the small print that says or 100,000 kilometres, really, it's not relevant. If you do an average, say, of 25,000 kilometres a year, You know, is there a difference between a 7 or an 8 year warranty or a 5 year warranty for that matter if it's limited to 100,000 kilometres, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean,
if
don't fall
for
the big headline, you know, advertising campaigns. Actually, look at what the small print says too.
Good. And, you know, if you are doing those big mileages, you're kind of hoping you nearly have a company car or at least getting some mileage back in that one. What about diesel versus petrol? What are the decisions there?
In Ireland, we're obsessed with diesel, more so than anywhere else in Europe. 73.5% of all new cars sold in Ireland last year, diesel.
Can't believe 73%.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, if you went back into the 70s, I think there was only one diesel. It was a Mercedes that was available in diesel. But now everything is diesel, whether it's a tiny little small city car or right up to your big, you know, SUVs or people carriers. Everybody wants a diesel. Does everybody need a diesel? Probably not. I mean, if you do a fairly low mileage, 18,000 kilometres or less a year, you could probably very, very comfortably live with a petrol car. But technology has changed a lot. We used to always hear, you know, I remember my father always saying with diesel cars, you get twice the mileage for the tank. Do you now? Not particularly, because a lot of the petrol cars have come up great. And whether you read it in miles per gallon or, you know, litres of fuel used per 100 kilometres, you know, you're pretty much looking almost like for like with both petrol and diesel. So really, you know, think about it. The only real difference is that couple of cent at the pumps.
There was a lot of talk about emissions and what's good, what's bad, whether you should go diesel or petrol. What's your view on that?
Well, in Ireland, our system is we run our motor tax system off CO2 emissions, right? So which has probably, you know, because diesel CO2s are, you know, pretty much on a par with petrol, it works out well for us here. There's not a huge difference. Now we see cities like Paris are actually making moves to ban diesel cars by 2020 or 2018. It's because they produce a different kind of toxin, a NOx level, which is higher in diesel than it is in petrol. It probably won't take effect here because it'd take 40 years to clear the diesel fleet that's on our roads, but you don't know.
Joe, we've loads of texts flying in for you for 51552. We're going to get to those just after this.
Tubridy on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie. Find us on Facebook.
Tubridy 2FM.
It's Darren for Ryan. We've Joe Rafus here on 2FM from Autoculture Ireland. Joe, one of the texts here for you, 51552, only discovered yesterday that most new cars don't carry a spare wheel, which could be a very big issue if you have got a tyre problem late at night, middle of nowhere. That's from Pam in Dublin.
Look, the one thing I'll say with that, if you're going in to spend 20 or 25,000 euro in a dealership, fight with them that you want that spare wheel in. It's probably an optional extra. And if you're prepared to turn around and walk out and go down the road to the next dealer, I think you'll find most of them will put the spare wheel in the car. Most new cars will come with inflation kits or the little emergency wheel. Now, just on one thing that's a real bugbear of mine, it says 80 kilometres per hour maximum speed limit on most of the emergency wheels. Abide by it. It's far smaller. They're literally meant as a stopgap to get you to the nearest tyre centre or garage. And that's really all they should be used to. I know there's one particular car that has been passing me for the last 3 or 4 months and he's still on an emergency wheel.
Yikes.
You know, it's crazy dangerous.
That's Russian roulette. Is it worth going to the north to buy a second-hand car, says another texter from a dealer, one that was recommended by a friend?
Yeah, at the moment, I don't think currency exchange rates are all that favourable. So probably not, maybe at the moment. There is serious value to be picked up abroad. Again, that all comes back to VRT. In this country, we really are bent over a barrel with VRT. We're, you know, punished big time. Even in things people don't realise, VRT is actually charged on optional extras. So the tax band that your car is... Say, for instance, I'll give you an example. You buy a 1 litre petrol version of a particular car. And I won't name a brand just because I don't have the exact figures. But if you buy the 1 litre and it's tax band A2, okay, and you're paying 16% VRT, you buy the exact same car, only maybe the 2 litre diesel version, and it moves up a couple of tax bands. If you put Bluetooth as an optional extra on both of them, it's dearer on the diesel. Same part, same job to fit it and everything else, but you're charged a higher rate. And then on top of that, you'll have the VAT. So it does add up. So you could end up paying, you know, 3-4 maybe as high up as 6 or 7 euro per 100 euro on an optional extra, depending on what engine you've picked, depending on the CO2 emissions of that engine. Which is ridiculous.
All these things to think about, and that's, you really get caught in that. The other thing is, there's so many more, I imagine, secondhand cars coming on the market, good ones, because an awful lot of people are now trying to save and get a new car. Is that the case?
Yeah, there seems to be. Well, there's a big push. I mean, these are, car sales are up last year, and it looks good for this year again. The latest semi figures have everything pretty much.
Okay, so if people are, what are the biggest, most common mistakes we make when buying a new car?
Oh, the biggest mistakes.
Or a secondhand car, buying a car.
People buy the car that, you know, on impulse, they don't do their homework into it, they rush into it. I've fallen into a trap with that before. The second car I ever bought, I just seen it, I went, I bought it, and about 3 weeks later, I was thinking, what did I do?
Why? What happened?
Well, I had plenty of trouble with it, but it just wasn't the car that I wanted.
Yeah.
I bought a smaller car than I actually probably needed at the time. I bought petrol when at the time I was doing quite a considerable commute. And it just, I just bought it on an impulse.
Okay.
So you got to do your homework. You got to look, you know, look around and see what else is out there. But aside from, people settle on a car, and then quite often where they make the mistake is that the engine they picked that car in, or maybe the trim level. So you might decide, and I'll just give you an example. You buy a Volkswagen Passat. And you said, I've always wanted a Passat. And you buy the Passat, but you buy it in the wrong. You buy it maybe in the 1.6 diesel rather than the 2 litre might have suited you better, or the other way around. Or you could buy, you know, a comfort level or a trend line level.
So the CC
and then
is very important.
Have wanted a different trim level. You know, you don't get the extras that you wanted. Or worse, you pay for the extras that you never use.
Yeah. Yeah, which is another very good, because as you said, you're paying and then you're paying tax on top of that as well. What about the wrong type of car? Let's say, for example, you know, do you advise people to write out what? How do you know what you're going to need it for? I mean, obviously, if it's a family car, you know, you need it to be safe in room for kids. But what other things should people be thinking about?
Obviously, like, a car is probably for most people going to be the second biggest investment you ever make after your house. Would you just rush out and buy a house? No, you wouldn't. The same needs to be applied. You need to kind of go, right, what do I need from a car? What do I expect from my car? And then what, after once you've established all that, what are the nice little features that if I could have them, I'd kind of really like them? And that's the way you stage it. So you pick what you need and then the kind of the little benefits or bonuses afterwards.
Okay, Joe, before I let you go, I have to ask you about this. There's an ad on at the moment saying, a test drive, what can you learn about a car in a couple of minutes around the block? What's your view on that?
Well, the key to it is you don't take a couple of minutes. You know, I've heard of people who squeeze in a test drive on their lunch break. You know, that kind of thing. Don't put yourself under that kind of pressure. Go take a good long test drive. Don't get distracted by the salesman, because at the end of the day, he wants you to sell or to buy that car. He's there to sell it to you. Just tell him, look, I'll talk to you when we get back, but for the moment, I just want to concentrate on the car. Take a good drive. Take somebody else with you, you know, and probably the best thing to do is go home and sleep on it that night. And if you want, or probably should, take a second test drive in it before you commit to putting your name on the logbook.
I think that's really, really good advice. Joe, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us. Joe Rafis from AutoCultureIreland.com. That's the best place for people to get you.
Excellent.
And to read all your reviews. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Bob.